Welcome back for the last 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. We're talking with Pastor Daniel Preuss. Is the Reformation over? We're answering that question. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Daniel Preuss is president of Luther Academy. Before we go on, Daniel, tell us about Luther Academy. What is it?
Well, Luther Academy began back in 1991 primarily as a publisher. We began with the publishing of a series of dogmatics books. We're still in the process of publishing those, called Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics. It was envisioned as a 13-volume series, and we have finished 5 volumes of those. We got 4 in process, and then we're identifying authors for 4 more. We also publish a journal called Logia, which deals with theological issues. Lately, our focus has been expanded quite a bit to include conferences, both in this country and overseas. And so we are now beginning to focus on providing additional pastoral education or additional theological education for pastors in countries who have not, where the pastors have not been able to get what they would consider to be an adequate training for the pastoral ministry.
You've traveled recently, haven't you, or some time back? Where have you been in connection with Luther Academy? Have you been outside the U.S.?
Yes, this last year I attended a conference in Lithuania entitled the East European Confessional Lutheran Free Conference, which is a similar concept, providing pastoral education or theological training for pastors who used to live behind the Iron Curtain under the former Soviet system, where it was very difficult to get good theological training. I've also been involved for quite a few years with an organization in Scandinavia called the North European Luther Academy, where confessional Lutherans are simply trying to band together to figure out how together they address the issues that are confronting them in the Scandinavian churches. Then I also took a trip to Africa, where I was involved in making preparations for a conference that the Luther Academy is going to hold next summer in Ghana.
Folks, if you want to find out more about Luther Academy and their work, you can visit our website, issuesetc.org. On the left-hand side, you're going to find a number of links. One of them is called Links. Click on that, scroll down, and you'll find Pastor Daniel Preuss and Luther Academy. The website address, issuesetc.org. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Give us your first name, your city, and your state when you email us with a question or a comment. As we answer the question, is the Reformation over? Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Diane, who calls from St. Louis. Thanks for waiting, Diane.
Hello. On the topic of evangelicalism and works, I know that evangelicals believe and respect Ephesians 2, saved by grace through faith, but they often look at it as a one-time thing at conversion, and there's like a disconnect to their present life of sanctification. I was an evangelical for 25 years, and talking about denominations, that tripped me up until I did hear Dr. Brighton say something on the radio to the effect of our first job is not to convert them to Lutheranism, but to Christianity. And I am a Missouri Synod Lutheran now, and I do think that we have the best doctrine, and it's the freedom of that message is what really drew me and kept me.
Diane, hang on the line there. I'm going to send you a copy of Daniel Preuss's book, Why I'm a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center. Thank you very much for the call. Do you agree with her assessment of the place that the doctrine of justification is often given in American evangelicalism?
Yes, I think she actually made an observation that is pretty important, and that is that you're saved. In American evangelicalism will certainly speak of Jesus as Savior, but it's almost like it's simply the first step. And once that's taken place, that's a wonderful thing. But now it's up to us to go on and complete our salvation, so to speak, by living in the ways that God calls us to live. So I think she's made a very appropriate observation, and I think that what she is saying is reflected quite well in the way they worship. If you look at Lutheran worship, for example, it is intensely focused on the person of Jesus Christ and his work for our salvation. If you look at much of evangelical worship, it's focused much more on our sanctification and our praise of God, etc., which we should certainly do. But it's a question of where is the focus? Is it on Jesus or is it on us?
So recently we talked with Pastor Ted Haggard, who's the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And he spoke quite easily and casually about the cross, about the forgiveness of sins, as, in his words, the starting point. And that was followed with a rather significant but. That's the starting point. But, and then he went on to talk about how that faith must somehow, must continue to work itself out. And he put where Luther put justification at the center, he very definitely put it at the beginning, and then from that point on, it's not so relevant. He even said that Christians don't need to hear the message of the cross on a regular basis.
Well, Jesus himself said in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That would indicate pretty clearly to me that my focus throughout my life needs to be on him. When he says I'm the Alpha and Omega, what he's saying is I'm everything. And when through faith in him, my sins have been washed away, I believe that I now have everything that God can give me. I will now do good works, not just because God says, well, now you have to do this. I'll do it because I am so grateful for the fact that God has done absolutely everything for me through Jesus Christ, that there's no other way I can act but to respond to his love with those works.
Because there is nothing you can do before God. Now everything you do can be before your neighbor.
Well, right, and it's done for the correct motivation. It's not done because I think I've got to make God happy. It's not done because I'm afraid I'm going to be damned if I don't. It's not done to make me look good. He has done everything for me that I need. Now, everything I do is going to be done for one reason only. It's a grateful response to him for his wonderful work of salvation in my life.
Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're giving away the book, Why I Am a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 7th of December, talking with Pastor Daniel Preuss, that book's author. We're giving it to our listeners with the best questions and comments. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 2727. Here's Ann. She calls from Crestwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good afternoon. Dr. Preuss, I spoke with you at the Issues Banquet, and I commented on your book, which I think is just phenomenal. I'm giving it as gifts the way I used to give Mere Christianity. But what I wanted to say was, and I think you've already answered, you said people are saved in spite of their errors. My mother goes to bed each night with her rosary, and my stepfather prays to St. Joseph every night, and that troubled me, so I wondered, should I be concerned or comforted, although you said that we are saved in spite of our errors. And one of my frustrations is I think that the Roman Catholics don't place such an emphasis on Scripture, and I would like to, you know, tell my mom in 1 Timothy 2:5 it says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's Jesus Christ. But I mean, I can't get these points across to her because she would say, "You mean you'd overthrow Mary or something?" And there's just kind of a great divide there.
Thank you very much, Anne. It sounds like a pretty common situation. What would you say, Daniel?
Well, I think it is a common situation, and I believe that the only way in which we can assure ourselves that our loved ones are Christians is to talk to them about Christ himself and ask them how they view him. I think that's the only way in which you can really get at the heart of the matter. I've had many friends who are Roman Catholics who I am convinced had a wonderful faith in Christ. They belonged to a church body which taught certain things which I consider quite dangerous to faith. But in the midst of all that, they actually looked to Jesus as their Savior. So if you have concerns, I think the best advice is to concentrate your conversation upon Jesus. Who is he? What did he do for me? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that he washed all your sins away? And if their answers to those questions are the right answers, I don't think that takes away all your concerns, but it does take away your main concern.
And then you can ask the next question, which would be, then why do you need St. Joseph? Or why do you need to deal with Mary?
Well, exactly.
But once you've established that there is faith in Jesus Christ.
Right. And, of course, all of this assumes that Christians are actually going to talk to people about their faith, which is something that I think we need to commit ourselves to doing. One of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard is when a person says, I don't talk about religion or politics. And I may have made this observation before on issues, etc. But imagine it. You don't talk about that topic, which most influences your welfare in this life, and you don't talk about that topic, which most influences your welfare in the life to come. You relegate yourself to talking only about what is irrelevant. So Christians do need to talk to people about Jesus Christ and about their faith, never in a condemning or accusatory way, but in a way that simply tries to get at what do we believe and then compare that or contrast that with what the Bible actually says.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Steve calls from his car. Steve, thanks for waiting.
I have an observation and a question to follow up. The observation is the fact that evangelicals don't really believe in the total depravity of man, similar to the way the Catholic Church does. And the way I see that is evangelicals think that your works make you happy. In today's world, Catholics in the day of Luther believe that penitence made God happy with indulgences.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. He sees a parallel between the medieval teaching of indulgences. You might explain that a little bit. And the modern evangelical teaching of your good works somehow please God.
Well, first of all, his comment about total depravity should be noted. He's absolutely correct about that. And in fact, most Americans today do not believe in total depravity. And if you don't believe in total depravity, of course, that is going to impact heavily your view of the need for salvation. So I think that needs to be said first. But his other observation, I think, is also correct. Many evangelicals do place a far greater emphasis on the need for sanctification as proof of one's Christianity and as actually meritorious to some degree, just as Rome taught in regard to indulgences at the time of Luther. Having said that, I think it's also interesting to point out that Rome's position on indulgences has not really changed since that time. In fact, just this November, on the 29th, Pope Benedict issued a plenary indulgence for those who would render public homage of praise to Mary Immaculate. And the concept is the same. If you receive this indulgence, you will either purchase all of your time out of purgatory or time out of purgatory for one of your loved ones.
So not a lot has changed.
I don't think much has changed. In fact, if you consider it, we're maybe worse off than we were then. The bodily assumption of Mary into heaven, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the infallibility of the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra, these are all dogmas which have been declared since the time of the Reformation. So we have certainly not gotten closer to each other. Lutherans and Roman Catholics since the time of the Reformation.
Jenny writes from Independence, Missouri, where she listens. Please ask Pastor Preuss to explain the phrase from Scripture, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, in light of what he is discussing today. She says, I need help with this sometimes when I explain salvation by grace alone to others. It's a passage that's often cited by people who want to say, no, our works that follow faith do play a part in the ultimate outcome.
Well, that's a good question, and it's not always an easy question, actually, to answer. But the point that I believe is being made in that particular verse is one that is made in another verse in the New Testament where we hear that a person should take heed. Let me start over. Let him who thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, one's Christianity should not be so taken for granted that we go through life as though nothing can threaten our faith and nothing can cause us to stumble. That's the point that is being made when the apostle says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, you've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you need to stay on this road. This will happen only when you continue grounded on the the scriptures, grounded on the words of the apostles and prophets, and don't think that you stand. Take heed lest you fall. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Jenny, hang on the line. Oh, I'm sorry. Jenny was emailing us. Email us your contact information, Jenny, and I'm going to send you a copy of Why I Am a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center. Let's talk with Bill from Breckenridge Hills. Hi, Bill.
Yes. Good evening to both of you. The question I have is, in light of Romans 2:14-15, where it talks about the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law.
Sure.
Were these scriptures ever used to contradict the idea of total depravity and therefore more or less kind of helped influence the idea of decision theology and, of course, there's a contradiction to what our scriptures say about that faith is given by God. And I was just wondering if that was an argument that was ever used to kind of contradict these things that we've been talking about. And I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the call.
Okay, I'll answer your question. I don't know. Normally, those passages certainly have not been used for that purpose. Those passages have been used to demonstrate that even unbelievers have an understanding of the natural knowledge of God. They have a natural understanding of the fact that He has given laws, He has given commandments, and that we are obligated to obey them. Whether that passage has ever been used to actually deny total depravity, I really can't answer that question. I don't know.
Now,
Scott knows.
We've been using the shorthand of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. But the longhand, the fuller version of that formula, and I think it's important that we mention this near the end of our conversation, is that a man is declared righteous by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. Talk about that declared righteous and why that was so very important to the reformers, that a man is declared versus some other means by which he is righteous before God.
Well, we believe that what happens in justification is forensic. It's like being in a court. You're declared righteous. The judge makes a declaration. And as far as your future and your life goes, that declaration stands. But that declaration does not necessarily take away your sinful nature, for example. Although there are those who actually teach that justification means that a person is made righteous in such a way that his own righteousness now assists him in standing before God in a holy and pure way. We have always believed, and this is at the very heart of the Christian faith, that the righteousness by which we stand before God is imputed to us. It's reckoned to us by God for Jesus' sake. In other words, that righteousness with which we stand before God is not our own.
It's alien righteousness.
It's an alien righteousness. It is, in fact, Jesus' righteousness. If it's my righteousness, I'm going to lie awake at night, every single night, wondering whether I'm okay. But if it's Jesus' righteousness, that's an infinite righteousness. I will never be concerned about my salvation when I know I'm covered with His righteousness.
So the question for the sinner, in fear of his sin and in despair of his salvation, is not, am I righteous, but has God declared me righteous for Christ's sake? Does God see me with Christ? Am I robed in Christ's righteousness?
Exactly. And the other basic question is, with whose righteousness do I want to stand before God? And if He declares that the righteousness of Jesus is mine through faith in Him, why would I ever want to counter that word? That gives me such assurance, such comfort. Jesus' righteousness covers me. Then it is not possible for God to look upon me as anything but just and holy and pure in His eyes.
We've been talking about whether or not the Reformation is over, and there are many today who say, well, yeah, the first one is over, but what we need is a second one. And I'm thinking about those who are, and here Rick Warren comes to mind. He's famously, of late in the last 2 years, been publicly calling for a second Reformation. He says, of deeds, not creeds, of behavior, not belief. What do you make of these calls for a second Reformation?
I would call those calls for a second Reformation a call to renounce the Reformation that God put into place through Luther and the other reformers in the 16th century. He would return us to precisely that doctrine against which Luther and the reformers fought. Deeds, not creeds. In other words, we're going to stand before God now on the basis of our works and prove thereby that we're Christians. This is a return to what we've forsaken. I think it's absolutely the worst message. I want to continue in the same Reformation in which Luther was involved, in which the 17th century Lutheran theologians were involved, in which C.F.W. Walther was involved, in which my forefathers were involved, and in which my church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has been involved since its founding. That's the only Reformation I want to be involved in.
With only about 30 seconds, was the Reformation something that simply, we talked about whether it's over, but did it begin in the 16th century? Or has it been, if it is the task of the church, to constantly rediscover and uncover the gospel for sinners? Has this not been, in fact, the life of the church, whether we've recognized it that way or not?
You can say that as an historian. I might get a little bit uncomfortable with that, but you're correct. I mean, there's always been error in the church. The Holy Spirit has always worked in the church through His Word to correct error, to create faith, to set people on the path of salvation. Having said that, I would, however, state that the purity of the gospel, the light of the gospel, shined forth far more clearly following the work of Luther, the signing of the Augsburg Confession, and the creation of the other Lutheran confessions to so beautifully explain the gospel of justification by grace through faith. It shined forth much more clearly and purely than it had for many, many centuries.
Pastor Daniel Preuss, thank you for being our guest. It's a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, Todd.
Pastor Daniel Preuss is president of Luther Academy, and he's author of the book, Why I Am a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center. Now, when you go home tonight and go searching on the web, check out the great work being done by Luther Academy. You can do that by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Look on the left-hand side of the homepage, click links, scroll down, and you'll find a direct link to Pastor Daniel Preuss and Luther Academy. You'll find out all about them there. Tomorrow on the program, Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief and Human Care joins us. One of the things, I mentioned Rick Warren, one of the things that he has been deeply concerned about, and rightly so, he was even on Larry King about it over the weekend, talking about the worldwide crisis of AIDS. It is very easy to associate AIDS with homosexuality exclusively, but the crisis in the world does not look like that. We'll be talking with Pastor Matt Harrison about AIDS tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.